You're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there to help with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So I'll put the link in the description so you can have a look at it. I highly recommend it. And today, I have another amazing guest, and this is a topic that we all want to hear today. I have the wonderful friend Garden here with us, and we're going to be talking about living pain-free, which is something that we all kind of want to go for. And she's the pain-free living coach. She does amazing work, and I'll just put the spotlight on her. Thank you so much, friend, for joining me today and talking about a topic I think everybody has to deal with at some point in their life. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I love talking about pain and helping people sort of, it's a shift in perspective, I think, in many cases. I'll summarize my story. About 12 years ago, I was working as an adult educator with the school board, and I was suffering from headaches and nausea, and I had some blurry vision, and that went on for probably a good 6 or 7 months. And I thought, it's just a little bit of stress at work and it's fine. And when you're in a frontline job, and so when I say frontline, I mean anybody who talks to people. As far as I'm concerned, that's frontline. And when you're in that position, oftentimes you don't really have control over changes that are made. You're just said told implement this and you have to figure it out. And that's kind of what was happening. And so I just kept taking on that stress and not really managing it well. And then one morning I came into my classroom and I had lost, turn on my lights and I lost my vision. I couldn't see anything. Yeah, like I was standing there and I'm like complete darkness. So of course I freaked out a little bit. And after a few minutes, the vision came back in one of my eyes, but the other eye was still gone. And leading up to that, I had been getting more and more migraines that were just, I couldn't do anything to relieve the pain. And I went home, went to the merge. They thought I had a brain tumor or cancer, or like they'd had no idea what was going on. So I ended up in bed for 4 months with vision loss and a migraine and a constant migraine. Like I remember going to the hospital and they'd put, you know how they put a saline drip for whatever pain meds or whatever? They pushed it directly into my vein. Like it wasn't mixed with saline, with straight drugs. And I'd like pass out for maybe 45 minutes or so. And that was the relief I got from the pain, from that migraine. And as soon as I woke up, it came back. So what ended up happening was I saw an ophthalmologist and I was diagnosed with central serous retinopathy, which means it fluid behind the eye leaks through because the membrane of the eyeball is very weak and it starts to tear. And then blurry vision, which, so this is really important for your listeners and for you and everyone else. Central serous retinopathy, CSR, is very common. Anybody who is like type A, likes to control everything, is a do and pushes through, very common that people get it. But what happens with most people is our vision, like we see with both eyes, and our brain makes one image. And my brain decided it wasn't going to do that anymore. So many people that have this don't know they have it because their brain corrects for them. And it's not until they have other serious eye issues that they discover that they've had this situation happen to them. My brain did not want to do that. So I spent some time recovering from that, kind of shifting things in my life. And while I was sort of getting back into life, then I started having lots of pain in my hands and my feet and lots of really unexplained pain. To the point, like I couldn't walk. Like it was really bad. So, a daily pain scale, like from 1 to 10, 10 being the most, I lived at 15. So, I had Gravol in the morning so I wasn't nauseous, take Advil again and Gravol again for nausea. And then I come home and go to bed. And it was just terrible. And if you've lived in pain, you understand how it feels, but you get used to it too. Like that's the thing, right? So, anyway, I ended up getting diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And Fibro is sometimes a diagnosis that they give when they don't really know what else is going on. And I'm not saying fibro doesn't exist, it does. But there are so many things that contribute to the pain. And so after my diagnosis, then I was prescribed meds, which did work. And I'm not saying don't take meds, right? If they work for you, take them. Like there are many things that we need meds for. Like that's just a fact, right? And they make you feel better. So do it. I was in this state where I didn't really believe that I had to live like this. There had to be something else that I could do. So after getting diagnosed, taking my meds, then I kind of lived about a 7 out of 10 for pain, which from 15 is whoo,
It's
magnificent.
great.
That's really good. However, there are other
It's still.
things going on. Like I'm still getting pain. I'm having gut issues. I'm having digestive issues. So I started looking for some other solutions. And then I met someone that does bioenergetics and is a holistic practitioner and focuses really on healing the gut, but making sure the organs are functioning, like detoxing the liver and things like that. And so I went through his whole protocol. And after a 3 month period, I was basically pain free.
Wow,
Yeah. So
that's
I
incredible.
have flares now. Like I'm not saying I never have pain and I'm not saying I don't take anything, but I'm not on a regular medication intake because right now I don't need it. Will that change in the future? Possibly. And I don't think there's anything wrong with taking meds. I just know that through this whole journey, right, over 12 years of getting here, that there are many things that I have done personally that I do with my clients and that I've learned from others that actually impact pain. Because when you start researching pain, you realize it is multifaceted and it's not just one thing that causes it. So, like if I break my bone, I mean, of course I have pain. It's a physical thing and I feel it. But there are other parts and there are other times where we feel pain and it is not really pain. There's something else going on. It results, it manifests as pain, but there's other things going on.
Exactly. And that's where pain management gets very tricky because there is the physical pain. I've lived with a spine injury. I had the accident when I was 5 years old. So there's that pain. But when you get the pain that's created from either an emotional pain or stress, or because that's what I've gone through. And this is why I like having these conversations, because you were mentioning your symptoms, and when really, I had to come to terms with the fact that I was going through a burnout, even though I was like, I am fine. And it was the vision. My vision started getting, I had the pain, I had chest pains, I had all that stuff, and the migraines I've always had because of my spine injury. And but it's that vision that was just kind of coming in and out like a microscope when you're trying to. So when you said that, I was like, oh, that's another symptom that can be created from stress. Like you say, you kind of roll with the punches. I grew up with the show must go on. So you push it back. I was training my team to recognize the signs of burnout, to care for themselves. But they were looking at me going, are you good? I'd be like, I'm fine. Why? What's wrong? They were seeing it. So the pain is tricky and it can be linked to emotion. And this is something that you talk about as well, because your work is to make sure that your pain doesn't control your life. We change that narrative, and it has a lot to do with emotions and stress and all sorts of stuff. Can you kind of go over how that can affect you in terms of
Sure.
a physical pain?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit. So, to preface this, I actually did a workshop on stress last week. And, prefacing this, it's multi-layered. It takes time. There are small pieces that you can do. But I would say, right from the get-go, if as you're listening to me talk and I say these things, if your response is, I'm not doing that, what does she think? What, how? How am I possibly doing that? No, she doesn't know my life. So if any of these kinds of thoughts float through your head as I speak, I'm talking to you. Okay, like for real, I want you to actually take a step and like notice that the resistance you have to it, because when you resist something, that's the thing
That's the
that you
thing.
need. Okay, so talking about stress and burnout and all this stuff. So, number one, I'm going to say food is really important. Your gut health is really important. If you have any kind of inflammation in your body, which most people do because we eat inflammatory foods, you can have pain. So if you have arthritis, let's say, or like your injury that you have, or let even if I break a bone or hurt myself, I have inflammation in my body. And anytime you're adding foods that cause inflammation, you're increasing the pain in your body. That's just how it works and why it works that way. And I'm simplifying this, of course, but our whole body is surrounded, every muscle, ligament, tendon, by connective tissue called fascia. And your fascia needs to be flexible and move. And when it's healthy, it does that. So if I have arthritis in my hands, let's say, and my fascia is healthy, I have no problem making a fist and opening and closing my hand, no pain. If there's inflammation in my body, when I do, whether it's when I close my hand or when I open it, I feel that pain, you have inflammation. And what's happening is your fascia is not healthy. And so what that means is your fascia should be sliding. It should be flexible and move. When it's unhealthy, think of it like Velcro. You're trying to move something that's stuck. So your food makes a big impact. So here we go. Five inflammatory foods: sugar, gluten, dairy, soy, and corn. And I know when I say this, and it happened this week, people are like, well, how am I supposed to eat? Oh no, you could eat vegetables. You could eat some fruit, right? Berries are real good. And you could eat all the protein that you want. So it is interesting when people think about that and they go, I have to take all these things out. Well, I want you to bear in mind, like for example, breads, gluten. They're simple starches, which is just sugar. Right? I've been gluten-free for 30 years. And I was gluten-free before there were any options. There did you just didn't have it. There were no things you could buy that were gluten-free.
There was nothing
So
there.
it is
Yeah.
possible to be gluten-free. There are lots of people who do it, because the thing is, once you change your food, your inflammation goes down, which will reduce your pain. And it will also reduce your stress, because your body's not constantly fighting and trying to live with all this inflammatory food that you're eating, right? And when you get out of the pain cycle, so even when I said I was at 15, then I went down to 7, right, with meds. And then when I actually cleaned everything out, pain went away. If you don't know what it feels like to live without pain, like it is magnificent. Danielle, it's magnificent. Like it truly is, because you wake up in the morning, okay, I feel, yeah, I'm achy, I'm sore, but I'm not in pain. Right? And when you don't know what that is, then you can't tell the difference, or you like, it's not going to make that big of a deal. It's not going to really change anything. And this is really important. So number one tip, if you're revamping food, I would say number one, get rid of sugar. Okay. And if you can't get rid of sugar completely, then you're going to aim for 20 grams of sugar per day. That's it. And I want you to read your labels. Bread has sugar, peanut butter has sugar, salad dressing has sugar, soup has sugar, everything has sugar in it. I don't know why bread has sugar in it. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know why peanut butter has sugar, right? So look at what you're eating, track your food, and just see what is it that you're actually putting in your body. So 20 grams of sugar a day max. That's it. Okay. That's my number one thing. Number two, stress, which we've talked about, you've touched on. We live in chronic stress. And people, this is what I hear from my clients. I say, we're going to talk about your stress levels. And they say to me, I don't have stress. I have a client that has five kids. I don't believe that you don't have stress. Like, not possible. Like, I don't have five kids and I'm stressed when you say that. Like, there's no way, right? So when you say, then the reason that we don't think we have stress, and you talked about that, right? You were in burnout and your team was like, hello, like, look at yourself, Danielle. Because to notice the difference, there has to be a difference. So let's say my stress level sort of is, two or three. That's my baseline. Okay. And when I'm not stressed, I'm down at zero. Great. So the difference is quite small, right? And then what should happen is we should live in a low stress environment. When a stressful stimulus comes in, my cortisol spikes and my stress level goes really, I'm at 10, right? When that thing that caused the stress disappears, then my stress level should go down and cortisol should stop being released. And so I have a very large difference between unstressed, stressed, unstressed, stressed. But because we worry about everything and we overstress about everything, we're back to a small difference. I live at 8. When I'm stressed, I go to 10. There's hardly any difference. And what happens with the body is the body adapts, the brain adapts, and it goes, oh, Danielle's at 9 now. That's baseline okay, quotation. Okay, well, so we're going to live at 9 now. Now, when your stress happens, you go to 10 and then back to 9. No difference. There's really no difference. So the body is adapting because you're doing things that it needs to protect you from. It needs to make sure that you can function in life. And if you're dealing with kids and work and spouses and all of that stuff, you got a lot of things going on. So we really need to start thinking about what are the things that are causing us stress and really noting what we're doing that actually increases our stress or maintains that high baseline of where we live in stress. And when it comes to cortisol, you know, the body is supposed to release it when we're feeling stressed. It's a dangerous situation. I mean, that's how we're made. And then it's supposed to come down. If your cortisol is high, so I'm not promoting weight loss because I don't believe in that. I'm a trainer, but and a coach, but I'm not a weight loss person. But if you are trying to lose weight and your cortisol is high, you're never going to do it because cortisol keeps the weight on because it protects you. And if you are a woman that's in perimenopause or menopause, you might see that weight gain around the belly, right? Okay. And I think about it from an anatomical point of view. And like historically, weight, this area is where all our organs are. So of course, we're going to put all of the extra here to protect us because those are vital. I can lose an arm in function. Not ideal, but it could happen. But if I lose, like, you know what I mean? If I lose the organs, big deal. So the body protects you with stress. So, you know, I would say too, with people, when I work with them, your number one thing to focus on once you are thinking about your food, what are you changing? The next thing that you're going to focus on in your life is what's causing me stress. And people don't like to put boundaries up because they're worried about everybody else. And so what I said this to a client, and I'm going to say it to you and your listeners. So I was working with her, she's 40 years old, coaching, and she had lots of stress and lots of pain. And she has two kids. Her daughter is 10 and her son, I think, was 7 at the time. And we're going through all this and we're talking about stress and I'm talking about boundaries. And I'm talking about, you know, maybe you don't have to do everything for everybody else. Maybe you can teach your kids to do some things. Maybe they could help with, you know, even choosing the meals that you're going to eat. Like they're not cooking, they're 10, right? But maybe, or they're going to go grocery shopping with you or whatever. There are things they can do. They can set the table. Like there are little things they can do to help. And she said, well, I'm not going to make my kids do that. I said, I'm not telling you to make your kids do that. What I want to ask you is, if you continue the way that you are, doing all the things that you do and not asking for help or putting in some boundaries or saying no and just people pleasing, you are teaching your children to do the same thing. So my question to you is, would you like your children and especially your daughter, because this is the society that we're in, to have to work with a coach like me so we can undo all the things that she's learned for those 40 years of her life? Or would you like to teach her better strategies so that she doesn't need to have somebody when she's in her 40s trying to figure out what's going on? And that's a really powerful thing to think about because what you do, your children look at. You teach everybody how to act. You teach them what you will accept. And I know when I say it, people are like, you are very harsh. And I'm not very harsh. But what I think as parents, our role is to raise confident, independent, capable, kind humans. That's my belief. And
Yeah.
if that's the case, then I think that we should be teaching them things at a young age to become these people. And so if your stress is out of control and it's affecting you physically, and it will, and it might not be right away, and it might be little things like happened with me, but eventually it's going to blow up and it's going to be real bad, right? You need to think about what are the things that are causing you stress? Where are the ways that you can pull back? Where are some boundaries that you can set? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And then also,
I don't know if I answered your question.
oh no, you did for sure. And I'm taking notes because I'm like, ooh, this is gold. But you're right. And it's the children, especially, they learn not by what you're telling them, but what you're doing. So they're watching you overwork yourself, spreading yourself thin, losing your mind, slowly deteriorating. You're not going to see it, but your children, your spouse, your friends, your partners, your coworkers are seeing it. And you're like, I'm fine. But yeah. And it's not only that, but if you're doing everything, you're also not teaching your child how to support themselves and be independent once they're out on their own because they didn't learn it. So it's so important. You really touched on something. And the stress level, I would even add to that because I'm thinking about my own experience, is when you're used to being at a high stress level, your normal is there, which is not normal. So when you're reevaluating your stress level, you're like, oh no, that's fine.
Exactly.
Ask somebody that's a little lower,
Yeah.
say, and
So,
they'll be looking at it going, you are insane. How are you doing? That's your sign that,
yeah,
yeah,
like
okay, we need to bring
stress
it
is
down.
huge. Yeah. Sorry, Danielle. Stress is huge. Like,
It is.
I do a course on stress management.
Yep,
Like,
exactly.
I do workshops for like 2 hours and I can barely get everything in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Such a huge topic. And it really is. You know, you talked about emotions. Emotions are important. They cause pain, right? We store them, the body keeps them, and then it shows up as pain. So there are many things that can contribute to pain. There are many things that can affect your stress. And the thing really is, for most people, if you were to reduce your sugar
Yes.
and manage your stress, those two things will really move you very far forward into wellness. Like they really will. And the thing is, people, I heard someone in this workshop I did this week, and she's like, my family will get mad at me. Okay. Now, if this is the thought that you have, or my friends understand, okay, so I am a coach who will tell it like it is. So this is
That's it.
here it goes, listeners and Danielle. If your family and your friends are going to get angry at you because you are taking care of yourself for your own physical, emotional, and mental and spiritual wellness, you need new ones. You need new friends, and you need to limit the time with those people in your family, like legit. And I know because I've been through it. And like even this year, I was not well. I was sick, and I had so much pain because I was so sick. And I said to my husband, if this continues, this is Monday, we have Thanksgiving on Saturday. If this is how I feel through the week, I am not coming on Thanksgiving. And he knows because he's been with me for many years. He goes, okay, let's see how you feel on Saturday. And I didn't go. And I got messages from people, and some were like, I can't believe you missed. Why would you not see your family? Right? And I
The
had other
guilt tripping.
people, yeah, that trying to make me feel guilty. I don't feel guilty to take care of myself. You should feel bad that you're trying to make me feel guilty. No one's
Exactly.
guilting you into anything. And this is the thing, right? When people can't make you feel anything. You allow yourself to feel that way, right? So I don't feel guilty that I said no for Thanksgiving. And nobody that said anything negative about it made me feel guilty
That's it.
because it's me and I'm taking care of me. And again, coming back to everybody else in your life, you're a parent, you have children. How about we be well and we teach good tools to our children, great boundaries, teach them that it's okay that they can say, no, I don't like that, or no, it doesn't make me feel good, right? Why can't they say that, right? Why can't
Exactly.
we teach them that it's okay? And you want to be there for your kids. Like, heart attacks are serious business. And if you're a woman, your heart attack symptoms are different than traditional,
Dang.
and you don't even know. I have a friend who's like, I have heartburn. I'm like, dude, you're having a heart attack. She's like, no, I.
Yeah.
She goes, no, heart attack. And she's quoting all the ways, and it was how it affects men. I'm like, no, dude, you need to go to the hospital because you are actually having a heart attack right now.
Yeah.
Her father died at 55 from a heart attack. Like,
Yeah.
you know, so it is really important to think about it in a big picture. That makes sense.
Definitely. Yes, and to not think that you can
Rather
outrun.
than, oh God, I can't eat gluten. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't say no to people. Why? I say no all the time. It is magnificent, Danielle, to have the ability to go, yeah, I'm not interested in that. Like, even when we were trying to figure out when to
And
do
not
this
be.
interview, right? You're like, how about this? No. Like, you're back and forth. And every time, you know, I know other people might be like, oh, as soon as she says, yeah, this date, I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to rearrange everything. No, I'm not rearranging anything. It's going to work out when it's good for you and I. Like, and
That's
that's when I'm
it.
going to say yes. I am not going to spend my life arranging everything for everybody else. Right?
That's huge. Yeah. And it's that feeling that free, you're so free when you say no and you don't even want to explain yourself.
You
You
don't
don't
have
feel
so you don't
the
have
need
to
to
explain
justify.
yourself.
That's right. It's like, no, thank you. And then they just sit there waiting for you to change. And nah, that's
Oh.
it. And it's not easy. I mean, I've had to cut out some people, some really close family. I still love them, but again, like you say, they're making you feel guilty because you're not feeling well and it's not accommodating them.
They're not kind.
They're
They're
not your
not,
people.
yeah,
They're not
right?
your
And
people. And that's hard because you love them and you've poured out so much to them, but they're not your people. That this I've once you meet your people and you tell them something and they're there helping you, bringing you soup, bringing, doing that little text, then you're like, well, this is normal.
yeah,
Is
yes,
this
Danielle,
supposed to
yes.
happen? Yeah.
Yes. I have friends too. So that, like, and like you said, things shift, right? And we get fed this idea that because people are family, we have to be with them. We
Right.
have to accept them and we have to tolerate whatever they do. Why? No. And that if we have friends that we've been friends with for a very long time, that, you know, as we grow and change, we still have to maintain these friendships. But why? It is possible that they will drift away. And like you said, you have friends now that understand. I have friends that understand now. And like to the point where we're gonna see each other and like as I'm getting ready to go, I'm kind of not pushing, but I'm like, oh, I can go visit for like an hour and then when I come home, I can take care of myself. But as I'm leaving the house, I'm like, oh man, I can't do that. And I text them and I go, I can't. That's my message. I can't see you. We'll reschedule. And I don't say I'm sorry. I can't see you. We'll reschedule. And the response to that from them is go to bed and take care of yourself. I love you. We'll talk later.
Oh,
Like
wow.
that's the
Yeah.
response because you have people in your life that get it. They understand,
It get it.
right? So that when you're like, I can't do it, they go, okay. And it is
And
freeing.
it is because you're thinking, well, this is messed up. Like, this was my get people that see you and see that you're not doing well and you don't have to justify yourself. And they're like, no, I get it. Versus having to go through a whole debate, trying to justify why, like it's, yeah, when you have migraines, you have migraines. You know exactly what that is. When light is loud, it makes a sound and you feel like an axe has gone through your head. You don't want to go in a room full of people that are just like, ha, 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 ha. I can't be bothered with that. You did mention something and I'd like to bring that over because I kind of lived something through like that this year too. But when you were saying earlier that you were starting to feel not unwell again, well, I'll twist it to the burnout. And there are some backslides. There are some life. You fix it. You work on that. You set your boundaries. You take care of yourself. You cut people out. But sometimes life just kind of puts you right back into that role, and you start noticing those symptoms again. Can you kind of talk a little bit? It is
Yeah.
normal. A lot of people think that once the burnout is clear, well, it's never really cleared, but that you're okay. I did all the work. I'm good. But no,
Yeah.
if when stress comes back up and certain events come back up, the old habits come back up. Can you kind of touch on
Yeah.
that a
Yeah,
little
so
bit?
that sort of, and you had mentioned it like a backsliding kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying. I don't particularly like the word backslide.
No.
It feels negative to me, but it's semantics. But you know, yeah, you do all the things, you set all the boundaries, you make all your adjustments in your life, and then for me, what happened was for a long time I was putting everything into my business, and I was doing all social media and podcast and all this stuff, right? And I was over scheduled. And I don't mean I was doing too much. What I mean by that is that everything that I did was scheduled. I had free time, and I had chunks, like I put in time for me. So it wasn't just work all the time, but everything I did was in a schedule. Okay. And so I found like, oh God, that no, that's, I can't do that anymore. So then I went the other way. And I was like, I'm gonna do what I want, and I'm not gonna schedule anything. And if I want to do it, I'll do it. And if I don't, I don't. And I was kind of this opinion. Okay, I'm flowing with things. Okay, I wasn't flowing with things at all. I was allowing things to do whatever they wanted to do, and I was trying to figure it out. Like that's exactly what was happening. And then when I started noticing that, right, and I was starting to feel unwell, and then I was like, oh, like I really do need to have some scheduling. I do need to have things that I do on certain days or certain times. And I do have to maintain that, because if I don't, then everything kind of falls apart. And so it is, for me anyway, trying to oscillate between not having everything on a schedule, but not having everything just whenever is fine. And it is really that awareness of what you're doing, because I found as I was thinking about it, actually, because I was thinking about it before we were going to chat, I feel like I was people pleasing again, but it was masked. And so this is where the awareness is really important. It was masked as, oh, well, I'm going to do this podcast because it's a good connection with people. I can help people. So it was masked as something else, but it really was people pleasing. And so it's really important to be aware of what is it? Like, what is it that you're doing? Is it a people pleasing thing? Is it a fear of missing out? Is it worrying about people judging you? Like, what is the thing that is actually happening instead of what it is, right? Like, and how you're talking about it, I thought it was, you know, building business and relationships and all that. And it is, but it was also trying to meet others' expectations and not being judged and all those things. So it is important to always be aware. So when you know and you do the work and kind of become aware of these things, then when you kind of backslide, and like you said, or you start to feel, I'm not feeling so good, I have to actually take time away. And that's a big cue if you're burnt out, like you're exhausted. Like, and I don't mean exhausted because you got all the house, the work, the kids, all the things. Like it's Saturday and you're not doing anything and you're tired. Like you're tired, and it's not tired from the week, because we should re-energize as we sleep. So when we wake up in the morning, we're okay. And if you're just exhausted all the time, it's probably not just because you're doing so many things. You actually aren't recovering. Your stress is so high that your cortisol is off the charts, and you're just exhausted. You can't sleep and recover. And so it is important to know what are things that are affecting your stress, and to be very honest. And it's hard. Like, this is not an easy task that we are talking about, Danielle, as you know, and maybe people
No.
that are listening have done some of this. But you do, I think, need to be aware and ask yourself, you know, what really are you doing? So are you kind of changing your inflammatory foods? Are you kind of managing your stress? Are you kind of setting boundaries? Are you kind of taking care of it? So, because that's what people do, right? They're like, I'm doing all these things. Let's look at it. Are you? Or are you doing it in ways that get the least amount of pushback? And the thing is, we, like I said earlier, we have taught the people around us what we'll do and what we'll accept. And so, have you taught people around you that you will make three different meals because your children don't want to eat the one you made?
Yeah.
Because if
So.
that's what you're doing, I mean, we have lots of options.
That's right.
Kids can make a peanut butter sandwich. They can have a bowl of cereal. They could whatever. They can have some fruit and cheese and crackers. Like, they don't have to eat what you make. But if you are constantly, you know, this is a real example from one of my clients. If you're like making three meals every time because your kids don't want to eat what you made, then you have taught them that they can have whatever they want whenever they want, and you're going to do it for them.
That's right.
And that's not how
Yeah,
life works. Like, that's not how life works.
that's not how life
Not
works,
my
and if
life,
you're
and not anybody else. I've ex like that's not how it is. You
that's
know.
true.
So th there has to be a boundary put in there that like this is what we're eating. If you don't want it, it's okay, no problem. But there's a whole kitchen over there. You're 14 years old. Have something. Like, I don't care. And this is where, as a parent, you get it. You kind of get your claws in a little bit. You're like, but I made this meal, and they got to eat something else. Man, if your kid wants to eat chocolate cake for dinner, let them eat chocolate cake. It's fine. Like, let them do it.
Yeah.
They're gonna kind of get bored of it. And maybe they won't. Maybe every night they'll want chocolate cake. Okay, let them have the chocolate. Like, honestly, that's the biggest problem you have with your teenager is that they don't want to eat your food. Bravo, you've done a pretty good job. Like, you know
Yeah.
what I mean? They're not. So it is about this managing and deciding what's the you know, mountain you
Where is
want to
it
die in?
going?
What's the thing you want to argue and control? Like, what's the point of that?
That's it. And it's like finding yourself complaining about the fact that you have to make three meals. Well, why are you letting it happen? You know, like it's important to be aware of the stories you tell yourself to justify doing it,
Yes.
and to have people that'll call you out on your BS too, because that's what I needed. I needed a swift kick in the butt to just say, hey,
Yes.
you know,
Yes.
like, you know, and that's what I like about you, friend, is just like, you don't sugarcoat it. You don't filter it. It's just like, hey, you're killing yourself. Can we change this, please? You know?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to have that person to just kind of ruffle you up a little bit and get you angry and then be like, I care about you, so deal
Yeah.
with it. We're gonna fix this. So that's what I like. Is there something I wanted to ask this, because you've mentioned, you know, the food, Matt, you know, see where your stress really is or where it's coming from, set your boundaries. But is there like a one little thing I like people to say, like as soon as they listen to this podcast, to say, I'm gonna do this today to make that little switch, just like one little habit, little thing. I mean, they don't want to go through their cupboards and start throwing out all their sugar food,
No, no,
but just
no.
a little something that they can say, okay, let's start with this so it's not overwhelming, and then build up from that.
That's such a hard question, Danielle,
It
because
is a hard question for this topic because there's so many, you say it's so
okay,
multifaceted.
yeah, I know what I want to. There's so
Okay.
many pieces, but I know what I want to say. I want people that are listening, every time that you're going to say yes to something, every time you're going to say yes, I want you to pause and I want you to think, do I really want to say yes? Or am I doing it for someone else? Because I think that just that thing, that question of, do I really want to say yes to this, is a great awareness opener. And it's a great way to start being aware. Because that is, I think, Danielle, for anything that you're dealing with and all the things that we have talked about during this time, is your awareness is important. So before you say yes, do you really want to say yes? And then second question, do I have capacity for this? Because I might really want to say yes. Like, the answer to that question is yes, I really want to do this. Do you have capacity for it? And if you don't, you're going to have to say no. And maybe you don't have to say no completely. Maybe you could ask somebody. So that's part three. So number one, do you really want to say yes to it? Number two, if you do you have capacity for it? Second question. And then third question, you don't have capacity, could you do part of it, or could you ask somebody to help with it?
That's nice. I like that.
That's
I'm
more than
cutting.
one, I'm sorry, but
No, that's just sequential. That's the flow of it. I love it. I'm gonna start doing that because I'm starting to feel the backslide right now. So
Yeah,
it's
it happens.
important to. I would definitely do that. I could talk to you all day about this, but I know, and I'm gonna put a plug in here because if you go on Fran's website, there is a 3-day kind of stress-free boot camp. So if you want to get kind of a no, like a, just a good introduction to what you could do, there's that. But I also wanted to talk because you have a program that I think you're, or is it a 12-week thing that you've
Yes.
got going
Yeah.
on? Can you kind of talk to us about it a little?
Yeah, so it is this 12-week program. It's a one-on-one. It's one-on-one coaching with me.
Oh,
And
wow.
we go through, we meet every week. We have 12 sessions together and we deal with stress. We deal with setting boundaries. We deal with your relationships that are around you. And we talk about things that affect your emotions and your body. So that could be food, it could be people, a variety of things. And so as we go through that 12 weeks, we hit on those topics and you learn different strategies and different ways to manage these things. And it really is about having the tools for yourself. Okay. And I do, like you said, on the website, I do have a stress, it's called a momentum starter. It focuses on stress and things like that. And it's a do-it-yourself program. And you just go through the course yourself. But if you find that that is something that you're struggling with, the one-on-one is really helpful because once you're done the 12 weeks, you know, it is self-contained. You can go off and use those strategies on your own. But if you decide you need more, then we can do more. But it really is about identifying your triggers, setting some boundaries. What are the things that cause you stress? And how are we going to manage those things and implement these strategies into your life? And not just for you, but for your family. And how you can teach your kids and your spouse and the people around you how to also deal with their stress and all the things that surround us in society that, you know, seem to take over.
I like that. I like the fact that it's a one-on-one. There's so many group things out there, but this is personal, especially this topic. Your pain is different, your stress, your sources of stress are so different. So the one-on-one is great.
I have done it as a group, Danielle, and it's very powerful as a group, but you know, like you said, it is very personal and sometimes things that might be have happened in your life or are happening are very, very vulnerable. And I think sometimes being in a group, you don't share as much or you don't get as much out of it because it is very vulnerable. And when it's a one-on-one, it's just us. And so anything can be said and we can talk about whatever you need to. So yeah, it is very powerful. I've had very great results from clients and yeah,
That's good. I don't know for anybody listening right now, you can see Fran is really talk with, you can easily talk to Fran. It just kind of comes naturally. So it's easy to just open up and you know there's no judgment there. So it's amazing as well. What else is new? Is there anything coming up? I know we've met through, I don't want to put you on the spot there, but the book.
I have a book. It's called
Yeah.
Healing the Hurt. So
Yes.
it is a step-by-step guide to alleviate and minimize pain. And if I do say so myself, it's fantastic. But it is my journey through the pain cycle and becoming pain-free. So each chapter talks about different things. We talk about inflammation, stress, emotions, movement, mindset, all that stuff. And the thing I like best about my book. And I know we all have great books. Your book is awesome. All these authors have great resources. So buy all the books. But in my book, at
This
the
is
end of
your
every
book.
chapter, I have what's called, oh, wait, hold on. It's called a momentum step. And so it's got, there are questions, maybe, or tips or things that you can do. And then there's always like some kind of tracker, like a chart or something like that, where you will track. This one's about triggers. So knowing what triggers you is important. So you
Right.
do this tracker and you track your triggers. So if you're doing stress, you would track your stress. When did you feel very stressed? Yeah. What was the date? What was the situation? How did you respond? Who was involved? And you kind of, if you can track things, then you can see a pattern. And for some people, especially when I've been working with clients, when they say, you know, I say, well, what are the things that cause you stress? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, when they track it, they go, oh, the stress happens when I'm in, you know, getting ready to take my kids somewhere, like for a hockey tournament for the weekend. The stress is before it happens. Okay, what happened? What is the thing? It's the preparation or it's the food or whatever. So when you track it, you can find out where your pattern is. And when you find the pattern, then we work with strategies around how to manage that pattern, how to manage that situation when it comes up. So, yeah, it's a really great book. It's like a very practical tool.
Yes, I love
And
it.
you can get it on my website, you can get it on Amazon. So it is work. That's what I would say. All the things we've talked about, Danielle, are work.
It's
And you gotta do the work. And I find, and I'm talking about myself as well, probably you, Danielle, you could say the same thing. You kind of did the work. You felt like you were doing the work, but you didn't go all in. You gotta dive in. And it is challenging and it is
It is.
time, but I would say to everybody, you're worth it. You're worth the time
That's,
and energy and effort.
if you think of the energy and effort you put into the pain, the stress, and everything else, the burnouts and all of that, it's worth. And it's not just reading the book. It's not just reading about something. It's not just listening to a podcast. You actually have to implement it. So somebody will tell me, well, I've read 20 of these books. It's like, okay, so
So,
how much of
and
it did you put it into action?
yeah.
Because everybody can read,
Yeah.
but and if it's easy, you're not doing the work. You can't just do the easy stuff and
Oh.
forget the hard, because it's the hard stuff that's dragging you down. So, definitely a book worth, especially with the holidays coming up. It's a amazing book to have. Thank you so much for sharing that. Again, I could talk to you all day, but I always leave an interview off with one question that I promised the little girl I would ask every time I interview somebody. And that question is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, I want to be a unicorn. Easy.
Was waiting for somebody to say that. I'm like, somebody's gonna say unicorn at one point. I love it. Yes. Well, you're. I find you are pretty and an awesome unicorn already.
Thank you.
You're
I appreciate that.
spectacular. You're magical. You're one of a kind. I love it. Thank you so much. Is there anything else before we go?
Can find me online. Give me a follow. I'm on Instagram, The Pain Witch. On Instagram and TikTok, and
I
yeah,
love it.
there's new stuff coming up, so give me a follow. I got new programs coming out. Everything's being revamped for 2025.
Sounds good.
Things coming. And yeah, just take care of yourself and be honest and be kind to yourself. Be honest about what's going on and be kind. It takes time, a little bit at a time, one step at a time, and you'll get there.
That's right.
And
And
Danielle
you're
and I
not,
are here to help you, and there's
I
lots of people
was
out
gonna
there.
say you're not alone. And I was gonna
No.
say I will put the angles all the how people can follow you, your website, all of that, so they can have a look as well. So thank you so much for joining me today. And for everybody watching and listening, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to follow Fran as well with the wonderful work that she does. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.